Hello, cyclocross friends, and thanks for tuning in to episode 85 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, we are recording live from Rochester Cyclocross in the parking lot. This may be a series. This may be the first in the series of parking lot podcasts. Me, Scott Diedenbach, sitting down and reviewing the race that happened only moments before the men's and women's elite race at Rochester. It was a great time, perfect weather, really exciting races. As you'll hear, we'll get into all of that. But before we do, as always, just want to let you know that this podcast and this episode is brought to you by Health IQ. You can go to healthiq.com/cxhairs, fill out a questionnaire, they will contact you, and then from that process, you will get lower rates on your life insurance. I've said it before, if you listen to the show, you know the drill. They're looking for people with healthy lifestyles. They're looking for people who are active. They're going to ask you questions about how much you ride your bike, how much you run, what kind of activities you do. If you check all of those boxes, then you're looking at lower rates. And that's something that is going to be good for you. It's going to be good for your family. It's good to plan for these things now. Even though you are healthy, eventually your loved ones are going to need life insurance. So healthiq.com/cxhairs, help yourself, help the show. Also, as always, we are sponsored by Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. That's what Crosshairs Radio is a part of. That's also what all of the other great shows, the Slow Ride Podcast, Consummate Athlete. Saw Molly Herford out at Rochester Day working for Aspire Racing. They have some great episodes up. You should go check them out. We got to hang out. Awesome episodes. Scott and I talked a little bit of shoe tech. I don't know if that would be on Bike Shop CX, but that's about as far as tech that I get into. If you want to really deep dive into gear and tech, go check out Bike Shop CX. Consummate Athlete, we talked about them. What else? What am I missing? Oh, Kids Don't Follow. I've got a couple new episodes of Kids Don't Follow, so check that as well as the Honest Bicycle Program. Everything's available at wideanglepodium.com. Would love for you to join us, become a member. You can do that as little as $5 a month and up from there. We would love to have you. There's bonus content available for all of our members. Okay, let's get to the show. Hey, we've heard you that you don't like the really long ones. We're still going to do some long ones every once in a while, but we kept it short this time. It's going to come in under an hour, and it's going to be awesome, and I want to hear from you about it. Feedback@cxhairs.com. You can also call the hotline, 405-CX-HAIRS. Follow me on Instagram and on Twitter, @CXHAIRS. I'm going to hand it over to Scott eventually, and we're going to get into the episode, and we're going to do that right now.
All right, Scott, I started recording, and I'm going to hand it off to you to do this as an official TDDTIE, but I just want to set the scene. Now, we were going to do this live podcast at Rochester, which we are doing.
We are men of our
word.
But
it's basically just you, me, and Bruce Buckley hanging out under a tree in the Genesee State Valley. Park.
I mean, the racing for the day has finished, and basically this place emptied out in about 30 seconds. And, well, to be fair, you were announcing. I was in the pit. We had to take,
It took us a while to get over here.
It took us a while to get over here. But it's a gorgeous night here at this park.
Yeah, I said I was going to let you start the pod. I didn't know if we were going to do this like as a TDDTIE or just like a
Scott.
You
want me to do an official TDDTIE start?
What do you think? I mean, I know David will be upset.
Well, then, we should wait then. It just can't be an official start.
Do something. Just don't say TDDTIE, but say, hello, welcome everyone. It will make me feel good. There's a bus driving by.
So that's proof that this is live. All right. We are here with an edition, a Crosshairs Radio podcast edition, that is not TDDTIE.
Mr. David Palin, the forgotten third.
Without Mr. David Palin,
and
we
are live here. We got Stephen High doing his cool down in the background.
Blowing Lenny's us kisses.
Blowing kisses, sending up the peace sign.
Man, it's, you know, what does he have to be happy about today? I don't know. So, Bill.
Yes.
I mean, we're you know, like we said, Genesee County Park, live here talking. What an amazing race to start the season.
This is my first time in Rochester.
For the race.
For the race. Yeah, I did live here. as Scott mentioned before, where haven't you lived that there's not a big cyclocross race?
The Johnny Appleseed of cyclocross.
Yeah, I move here. There's no cycling scene. I move away, and then a cyclocross race starts.
Wait, Bill's gone. We can start a race.
Exactly. But, yeah, so this was my first time at the race. And, you know, Scott Page, the promoter, and Full Moon Vista, they were like, hey, you should come out. And so Bruce and I got in our car, drove the 7 hours from D.C., and pretty much blown away today. I mean, from how they do the setup, the infrastructure, all of the amenities that they have available here, to, you know, the track, to the racing. Just a great day.
Yeah, I completely agree. This has always been one of my favorite races of the season. Since the first time I've come back every single year because I just love it so much. And when they moved here from the other park, there was this worry, maybe kind of, well, you know, reasonable concern that, oh, maybe it's not going to be as good. And if it's not only as good, they may have, you know, raised the level a whole nother level, and it's even better than it ever was. And I love it. And man, oh man, what just an amazing day of racing. I don't even know how to say it. For the first, you know, you kind of expect maybe the first race of the season will be a dud a little bit, and it's the exact opposite.
The thing that we wish for in cyclocross racing is that there's, and any kind of racing, any kind of competition, you don't want one dominant figure. You want it to be a race.
Right.
And I think that's what we got both in the women's and the men's race today. We had two really exciting battles. But let's start out talking about the women's race.
Okay.
This one sort of set up interestingly in that it was just like sets of two. It was like two by two.
Right.
All the way up and down the beginning. So you had Magli Rochette and Ella Noble as the first two. And then, you know, these other pairs all the way down who are trying to reach the leaders.
Right, right. Yeah, and it'll be cool because we'll have two slightly different perspectives. You were announcing, and I was in the pit. So from the pit, those two kind of, Maglia Rochette and Ella Noble, kind of, they were the strongest two. You could tell, you know, they looked like that pretty much all day. It would have been taken something for any of the other women to catch them, I think. But I think from my perspective, Ellen looked a little bit stronger the whole race. And I thought, well, I think Ellen's going to get her in the end. But it wasn't a gimme. You know, it was right down to the very last lap and last, you know, the final straight kind of.
Yeah, and Magli coming off of a really strong mountain biking season. And when I talked to her after the race, she was like, yeah, I felt good. You know, and I wanted to test everybody at the beginning, and that's what she did, and was able to draw out that front group. And then Ellen was really the only one who was able to stay with her. And then when I talked to Ellen, you know, first off, she said that, you know, if you listen back to our podcast a couple of weeks ago, you know, she was really kind of not in a great place, you know, and she'll be the first to tell you that.
Yeah.
She had hit her head, you know, was having these concussion symptoms and just not feeling great physically. She was, you know, or mentally, and just wasn't really sure. So it was almost a relief for her to get the season started and come out and racing strong, but she wasn't really sure how she was going to react. And she said once the race started, she felt good. And she felt like she could just sit on Magli's wheel and be comfortable and not, and you're right. I think Rochette actually said the same thing, that she thought that Ellen was just that little bit stronger.
Yeah, I think you could kind of, you know, you always watch cross racers' faces.
All right, so this is our live podcast. We got Rob Peters now rolling by on waving. His cool down.
Well, I mean, this star studded, man.
Yeah.
You know, we just pull everybody around. So, Yeah, you know, they say you watch the racers' faces to see how they're doing, and you could, and that's where I think you could see it. You know, Ellen just wasn't showing the strain that Magley was, and I think that's how it proved, you know, to end. And I don't think from the pit, I don't think anybody came in to the pit in the entire women's race.
No, I was sort of joking that it was the mechanic's dream. I mean, everybody was there just sort of leaning against the barriers in the middle, just sort of hanging out, watching the racing, you know, didn't have anything to do. And I'm going to walk back what I had said just a second ago because I'm getting my interviews confused. Rochette actually said that she thought she was as strong as Ellen. And it's kind of interesting because we have this double trouble section right on the canal, which is sort of two double either – it's choose your own adventure. It's a run-up or a ride-up. Most can ride it. Some are running it. It may be, you know, who knows, depending on your skill ability, what's faster. Coming through with, I believe it was two laps to go, Rochette bobbled at the top of the first section of the double trouble and got stuck on that little lip over the top. And it just...
That's all it takes.
Half a second. Half a second back.
Reminds you of Sonic Kant and Voss at the end of Worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right as that happened, Noble... You know, Astro was like, it didn't look like you turned back, but somehow you knew.
Yeah.
That's and she said that, well, it seemed like I was faster in that section than Magley every time through. So it just happened that was when she was going to push it, and it was perfect
timing.
That was the time that she bobbled. Ellen was also putting in an attack because she knew she had the advantage. And those two things compounded, just opened up this gap that Magley said afterwards. She said, you know, once the gap opened, it's not like she was riding away from her.
No,
and it just stayed that same gap until the end.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is a sign that, you know, maybe strength-wise they were, you know, closer. But, again, I think Ellen Noble's face looked fresher. She didn't look as strained for the whole race from beginning to end, really, as Magley did. But then next, we had the Cannondale riders, Katie Keough.
Yes. And
note how I got there all day. So for people that weren't here, obviously all day the announcer has been saying half the time he's been calling her Katie Antineau, half the time Katie Keough. So eventually it'll get there one day. And then
I think Katie Keough is much more fun to say.
I do too. It's easier. It kind of rolls off your tongue a little easier. So yeah, it won't be long. And then Emma White, and then I was pitting for Crystal Anthony, who came in fifth place. And there was a moment there was one part of a lap where, at least from my perspective, something else might have happened when I couldn't see it, but where Crystal actually passed Emma and was in fourth. So got a little bit excited there, cheering and stuff from the pit. But then Emma was able to, I think, and this is, you know, really what you'd expect. Emma, I think, put it down on the finishing straight, and that's where she repassed Crystal, which is where you would expect someone with her.
Someone who's won a silver medal at Worlds for a time trial.
Right. That's her game, you know, and she knows it, and that's, you know, she's a smart rider, and that's where she went, got back in front of Crystal, and Crystal was not able to pull her back in. But, you know, still fifth for Crystal, which is at a C1. That's good points, too, you know.
Yeah, that was – Crystal looked like she was – I was talking about the pairs up now that we had that first pair with Rochette and Noble and then Keough and White and then Crystal for the longest time because there was another – it was Mani and Rebecca Ferringer behind them.
Right.
But then Crystal was like the only solo.
Yes.
Like she was just sort of stuck in the middle by herself.
Yes. Yeah, and then she passed Emma for a second and then backed off and then – but was able to hold it. So I think she's looking very fit and very strong, and that's a good result for her to kick off the season. So what else happened women's race? What else happened like earlier in the day? Is there anything like what, I mean, not necessarily results, but crazy stuff. Like one of the racers, Luke Steerwall for us, lost a shoe.
Really?
One of the run-ups, his shoe came completely off.
Stu Thorne honking.
His shoe came completely off. So
did he stop and go back?
No, he's pedaling with a sock. He comes around.
I missed this.
Someone
entirely.
Ran another shoe over. This is how I understand it. Someone ran another shoe over him in the pit. So he came into the pit.
But his shoes or just like
another one of his shoes?
Okay.
That would still work. So he puts this mismatched shoe on.
Right.
Is riding. And now he's way off. You know, he's way off the pace. The next time he came around to the run up, someone had picked it up and placed it over one of the course posts. So he, as he came by, he grabbed it, brought it back around to the pit, and tossed it in.
Did we see this a lot last year in Europe?
Yeah.
With the shoe changes in the pits?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, I know Worlds, we had, you know, the infamous shoe in the spokes with Vanderpool and where Vanderpool changed shoes. But I swear there were a couple other
shoe
races
incidents
where people were changing shoes in the pits going through. So,
yeah.
Man, this is like the new trend.
That's right. That's right. What's up with, we got to make better shoes.
I don't know if it's a lace-ups. Is lace-ups versus boa the new canty versus discs?
That's right. I don't think that one's going to have as much legs as the canty versus disc.
Because laces, you know, I mean, laces have made a comeback. Yeah, there's Velcro for a while.
Right, right. And now it's the laces. Yeah.
I will have to say that I swore off of boas. This is Bill talking about tech. Does this count as tech?
Yeah,
shoe
well,
tech?
Yeah, I guess.
So I swore off of boas because I was breaking them left and right. I just hated boas.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Velcro.
Oh.
And I liked the Velcro. With the, and then the latch on the top.
Yeah.
And then I broke like three or four different latches.
And then you swore off latches.
And I hated latches. Now I'm back to boas.
Oh.
I have one boa. Not like the multiple boas. So I have these Bond Treasures with the one boas.
Right.
So far, really liking them.
The new generation of boas is
really liking them. I think that boa tech has come a long way.
Right.
I'm not sure if there's a shiz number for the boas, but if there is, it's 2.9.
There you go. Okay, I'll put that in there. What else was I going to ask you?
My new heckle, by the way, which I was throwing out. Bruce was there for the. I keep wanting to call it the double Dutch section, the double trouble section. Early on, we were watching some of the folks just trying to ride it. And it was funny early on because there was a lot of Masters racers who were running and wondering if they could ride it. And then this herd of like 12-year-olds came through and were just screaming through it, like not even a thought, and just like riding the whole thing. Yeah, just like
right
flying through the section. And you got all these, you know, guys in their 40s and 50s watching them. Then, and we're like, see, they can do it. It's easy. They're just kids.
They don't think twice.
But
well, they don't have to go to work on Monday.
Somebody came through there, and it was like two guys, and they were there, and they were wondering if they could make it through that section. And I was like, nope, you got to run it because you got those vintage brakes.
All canties.
Or
mechanical disc. No, just
kidding. Do you think anybody runs? That's like the new vintage. I wonder if anybody even has mechanical discs.
Who'd I see? I saw somebody with mechanical discs today.
That's rough.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd
much rather have canties than mechanical discs.
At least you can modulate, you know,
right,
the canties.
All right. Well, do you want to talk about the men's race?
No, let's keep talking about canties.
Your favorite. Well, here, let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
You are like, you interviewed a ton of people today.
I did. It was good. Yeah, I got to. It's, you know, it's, somebody had said it's like the first day of school. And that's exactly what it felt like.
You
got to
do the rounds to the say hi, talk to everybody.
And I also just seeing, you know, for me personally, just see, I see Bruce enough, so he doesn't count. But see, he's giving me a look. In this context, seeing all of the cyclocross photographers is that for us is like back to school day, because I was over in Europe, I was working mountain bike races, and I know maybe one or two of the photographers, but they don't know me.
Right.
I don't know them. They're a little skeptical about this Sasquatch running around in the woods, and they don't know what to make of it. And it's, you know, so I'm a bit of an outsider. So it's nice to get back to my, you know, media family. So
yeah.
This is the first time.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, that's exactly
that everyone's
how it
together.
Is for me with the mechanics.
Yeah.
Exactly the same, you know. Oh, hey, how you doing? You know, what's going on? What are you guys running today? You know. All this year, you know.
Hey, we're just going to sit in the pits and not do anything because nobody's changing bikes.
That was true for the women's race. Although, now, you guys were, when you were announcing
yes.
for the men's race, talk about it a little bit. you were saying that there was not as much pit action, which there wasn't, but there was some. There was some.
Yeah, I noticed a couple guys definitely making some long runs.
Yeah, some long runs. Gage Hecht had a few. Something was going on. They were a few. I actually lent them a tool because they were trying to repair his chain ring. Something was going on. Hard to tell. You know, I didn't want to be like right in their business.
What tool did you lend them?
This is going to sound bad.
Oh, no.
A hammer.
Sorry. Hey,
as
I know from my bike shop friends, a back of shop, not a front of shop right. tool.
In their defense, it was a small hammer. No, I think what it was, what it looked like was one of the teeth on his chain rings had bent, so they kind of were pounding it over.
Feel like that was my best question of the day, my best follow-up question of the day of all the interviews I've had.
As soon as you asked it, I was like, oh, that's why I didn't say what it was when I said it. And then it's like, you went right there asking what it was.
I was going to play around with the tech, Allen wrench or right. torque wrench.
I could have just named some, like, just some weird, you know.
Hammer was perfect. Right?
All right, so men's race.
Yes.
This is going to be hard to beat. Seriously.
This was, you know, what Vanderpool and Van Aert. Hiding powers, you know, it's seeing the same thing. That's why we all, if you listen to TDDTIE, you know, one of our themes is always the women's races are more exciting than the men's races, mainly because it's usually you don't know who's going to win.
There's a group,
and there's a group there, yeah. and it's not yeah. one or two people out front. That's what we saw in this men's race, and it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, so at the start, kind of Tobin Ortenblad kind of took the lead for a few laps at the start. Set the early pace. And then it looked to me like a couple times he tried to slow the pace up. Like he was like, okay, I don't want to be on the front all the time, guys. And people just weren't jumping on it.
And one of the guys that did go up there, and it was kind of interesting because I was like, oh, my God, he's going for the rarest of doubles, was Curtis White.
Yeah.
So Curtis White, somebody who just weeks ago won. So Full Moon Vista, that is the organizer, promoter for this race. The other big race that they put on is the Rochester Twilight Criterium,
mm-hmm.
which is an amazing downtown Rochester crit that Curtis won.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, oh, man, he's going to double up. He's yeah. going to win the Rochester Twilight Criterium, come back, and try to win this Rochester Cyclocross race as well. And what – there's another guy running the course. That's what I want to do. What a great accomplishment that would have been. That would have been super sweet. And he looked awesome. And he was out there in front, you know, sort of setting the pace for that Cannondale Cyclocross team. But, you know – much like Tobin, wasn't able to keep that pace going on. Even, you know, we were sort of joking around with Tobin, who was parked next to us. And I was like, Tobin, you are crushing it for those first four or five laps. I was like, what happened? He was like, I was crushing it for those first four or five laps. He's like, I think that was the problem.
Yeah, because what did he get? He was top 10, I think, still, but.
Yeah, still a good result. But just, you know, and it's when we're. When I was talking to Hyde, it's something that he was mentioning. He's like, there's a lot of grass out here. It's a, it's a really, really fast course. You can't set the pace for the whole hour.
Yeah.
It's just impossible for one person to do.
Yeah. So Tobin was up there for a while. Then we saw probably for the next, for the largest part of the race, was Hyde and Rob Peters.
Yeah, Rob Peters coming over from Belgium. You know, we always talk about, like, trying to get these points. So he's a guy that came over to try to get more points. And he's a crafty racer.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in this game so long.
Yes.
So him and Hyde were able to get a little bit of a gap. And when you're watching it, it looks like both of them are playing this cat and mouse game. Both of them are testing each other. They're doing little attacks and then turn around to see if that did anything. And
yeah,
then,
where's my spot on the course? Yeah. Where am I a little bit faster than the other guy? Yeah.
When I talked to Hyde, he was like, I said that exact thing, and he was like, I think it was Rob played the cat and mouse. I was just trying to ride.
I was just hanging on.
You know, and that sort of goes with that older, experienced racer.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was when it all came down, and, you know, we had this big group, 10, 11 guys there for a while.
Behind them.
Eventually, that all sorted out, and we were left with Hyde and Peters, and then the Aspire Racing duo of the other P's.
Powers and Petrov,
chasing them down. And that was really interesting to see. And it almost looked like Petrov near the end was playing the domestique role.
Yeah.
Like he was pulling Powers back to that group, dropped him off, work done, and then he dropped back.
Well, there was one spot that I saw from the pit where Powers was in third. They were starting to close that down. And Spencer was behind him, and Powers waved him through. Like, I think what he thought was, I mean, I don't want to try and speak for Jeremy Powers, but what it looked like was maybe he thought Spencer had more speed going into that one section, so he was like, "Don't wait for me, go if you got it, go." And I think it was near the end, and Spencer, you could tell he was running out of matches, and I think he did go in front of Powers right there, but I think he might have burned his last match because right after that he got Powers there and then just kind of really. I don't think it would have changed his position, but he might have been closer to them at the end.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting. Yeah, tactically. But you know, so yeah, we had Peters and Hyde out front. What was the gap? Was what? Did it get 20 seconds?
Not sure it got that
maybe
big. It was
not
definitely
15?
10, 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we were watching that. And then so those two were playing cat and mouse game at the front. And then one crafty move like you were talking about with Peters, I believe you said it when you were announcing, was hopping the barriers on the last lap after having run them the whole race, which is, again, just setting it up.
Yeah, it's one of those things we talk about that makes cyclocross awesome is that you can pre-ride the race and you can find the sections that you're a little bit faster on if you do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to do it that different way until it's tactically
keeping your cards close to your
exactly
chest.
The
yeah.
right time in the race. Yeah. And that's exactly what Peters did. And talking to Hyde, you know, when I said that he was like, Rob was more the one playing the cat and mouse and he was, what Hyde said was like, when it came down to two laps to go, Hyde was like, look, we don't want these guys to come back. Let's keep going. And he was trying to talk to Peters and say, we got to keep this pace high or else those guys are coming back. Rob didn't want any part of it. It seemed, you know, comfortable with it coming back together. And that's exactly what happened. And with one lap to go, they both sit up.
Yeah, like, it was like
Hyde and Peters both turn and just look at each other and almost stop pedaling.
Yeah.
But soft pedaling at best. Barreling down the starting chute behind them is Powers and Petrov. And just like that,
it's
we
a
have
four-man
four,
race.
Four-man race.
Yeah.
And they're all back together.
Yes, and that was incredible, man. That was like, oh, because it was nice because we could see that clear from the pit too, which we don't always get a chance to do.
Right.
And yeah, and they closed that gap like so fast. It was amazing.
As a mechanic, this is actually one of those races that it's really fun to watch because you have the attack point right in front of you.
Yeah.
Like the
right.
point that everybody thinks this is where I want to go and they get out of the saddle and sprint is like right through the pit lane.
Right. And then we can see the start finish too at this
right.
course. So it's like right there. Normally in the pit, we're like way off. We get one little curve of the course and that's all you can see, you know, when they come by. So yeah, that's I really, really like watching this race from there. So they close that all down. And then I think not long into that was that thing I was just telling you about with Powers kind of waving Spencer through, which he did. And then Spencer kind of drops off, and it's down to Peters, Hyde, and Powers.
Right.
For three-quarters of a lap, half a lap.
Yeah, and Powers, you know, had to expend more energy than he wanted. He was having a couple little bike issues here and there, like on court. I don't know. You were saying you didn't see him ever actually.
I don't think
come
he came
into
the pit.
Pits, but
no.
I think out on course, he definitely was having some issues that he was working through and kind of maintaining.
Yeah,
you know,
just kind of dealing with it
and racing, and that sort of set him back a little bit. And you know, I think he feels like Jeremy's an interesting guy that he's never going to do the. He's always looking to change his program to progress. Mm-hmm. So he's not somebody that's going to rest on his laurels. If you look at his training, look how he approaches races. It changes from year to year. He knows that he's coming in, like, as he said, not on the razor's edge, you know, right from go this year. Mm-hmm. So he's not exactly there. Yeah, it was a good test. I think he said he was happy with how his fitness. He was a little frustrated with those little minor bike issues that he had to work through that took away some of his matches get back on there. Right. And in the end, you know, he knows what has to happen to win this race. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing, because if we look back to last year where it set up, you know, with Rob Peters, of course, wasn't in the mix.
Right.
But Powers and Hyde were. And what Hyde told me is he learned from Jeremy and learned from losing last year that you had to be first onto that final left turn onto the finishing stretch. And the guy who was going to be first was going to take the win. And last year, Powers just crushed it right over the barriers, up the little the stairs and up that section. He was just full gas so he could be first in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
Hyde sort of stole that page out of his playbook and was able to do that, and that's what set him up for the win.
Yeah, because you come down that with tons of speed into that gravelly turn. So it's like you got all the speed, but you almost have to scrub it off because you're coming into this crazy turn. So being first is an important thing. So, yeah, that's very interesting. So we finish off. They kind of sprint for the finish. I couldn't see that real well. You had a better view of that. But we finish off Hyde, Peters, Powers.
Yeah, and, you know, Jeremy said that as well. He's like, you know, I could have sat back and it would have been the same result.
Yeah.
But, you know, you gotta try to win. He's like, right. I'm lining up, I'm gonna try to win.
And this is cross and who knows, yeah. You know, the two of them touch each other and have to slow up and he goes right around them or something. You know,
yeah.
Crazier things have happened for sure. So
so
you gotta go.
So Hyde able to outsprint them, hold them off, take the win. Really big win for him. C1 win, first time winning at Rochester.
Yep.
And you know, like we said, just a three-man sprint in our first race of the year for North America is just not you can't ask for a better way to start it off.
No, I think if you think about all the entire season last year, this would have been one of, if not the best race of last year. You know, if you look at that whole season. So I think hopefully it's a sign of good things to come. Obviously, we're coming into the World Cups after this. I mean, we got a full day of racing tomorrow. And if it's as good as today, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, and the one thing, you know, we mentioned it all through the day. Maybe that's why we haven't mentioned it here yet. But as I sit here and it's now 6:40 in the evening, I'm thinking, I need a sweatshirt.
Right.
Right. You know, I'm still in short sleeves. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, it's getting a little cool
nippy
out here.
Yeah.
I think that was a huge factor and, of course, a huge positive factor. You were here last year, the last 2 years. And
3 years.
3 years. And you witnessed just the horrible
heat. It forced
the
UCI rule change.
Yeah.
I mean, the conditions at this race were really the deciding factor for UCI rule change with the whole hydration issue and all that stuff. I mean, it was that hot. And people going to the hospital, I mean, that's crazy.
Horrible. Yeah. And you know, that's what Magali Rochette said. She's like, well, obviously it's a better result than last year. I'm not leaving the race in an ambulance.
In an ambulance. So, no, that's a good point. It could be why, you know, the racing was so good today.
It was so fast.
Yeah.
And I think that the temperatures, the moderate temperatures, had a lot to do with that because the guys were just – and the women were able just to to go full gas the whole time and not have to worry about overheating.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, really good cyclocross conditions, I think. You know, no mud. Without having mud and slop and all that stuff, it doesn't get much better than this, in my opinion. Cool, but not like cold where you got to have gloves and everything, and great weather for an hour of racing, and yeah.
You know, and the terrain here, this reminds me a lot of what we have to deal with at DCCX, in that the organizers do go above and beyond in using all of the terrain available to make it as difficult as possible, saying that in that it's a challenge. There's not a lot of elevation change here.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
rolling. You have to find the couple little sections that you can do a hard run up and then force them back down. And they do a great job using the Erie Canal bank.
Yeah.
That's where all of the, you know, that double trouble section is and the run up sections. That's where all that takes place on that on that canal bank. And that's the kind of stuff as a promoter, you have to be savvy and you have to be creative to find that. Because other than that, you know, it's not a knock on the race. This is what they have to deal with. It's a lot of grass.
And
Kerry Werner actually made the point, you know, when he was talking with the organizer who was asking him, and this is what's great about this organization, the organizer is asking all the racers, what can we do to make this a better race for you?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's
awesome. And Kerry's like, well, you've done the best you can because you can only, and this was such a great way of putting this, you can only make a grass turn but so hard.
Right.
He's like, you can send it off camber, you can do everything, but if it's not muddy, if it's not rutted, there's
not much more you can do.
It's a grass turn.
Right.
You know,
right.
Even if it's off camber, you're going to be able to get purchase on it. You're going to be able to like, go through it fast and find your line. And that's what they were doing. So you know, working with the terrain and finding the parts to make it difficult, they did everything they could. Does it have the kind of difficult terrain that we see in other races or see in Europe? No. But the other factor in that I think we saw out today and why this deserves to be a C1 race is you still have to race it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not able to keep that pace with these guys at the front, which most of the field wasn't, then it's still hard. And everybody that came by here, everybody that swung by here was like, that was really hard.
Yeah, I don't think I would hesitate to call this a grass crit because
I hate that term,
me too.
You know,
because it's not. But at the same
I've seen local races, you know, that are guilty of that, and they usually come from promoters who are road racers and they don't want to make it hard. They're like, oh, it's a cyclocross race. I have my road form. I'm setting up this race that my club puts on. And it's almost like a four-corner crit. It's seriously, it's like a couple little weaves in here, but nothing technical at all in a grass field.
Yeah.
That's not what this is.
Yeah.
There is grass on the ground, but it's, you know, they are using the terrain. They're setting up off cambers. They have stairs that they've built. They have this little jump that they built, you know, on the downhill.
Yeah.
It's still technical.
And it's slightly different than last year. I heard two riders. One was Spencer's younger brother, Nicholas. He said, you know, he's like, this is way more fun to ride than it was last year. He's like, and I think it's because you don't feel like you're riding from one course feature and then riding to another one and doing that. And then he's like, this year, everything is together and you're constantly thinking and moving from one, and one feature kind of blends right into the next one. And he said, he had a lot more fun riding it this year. Cause again, this shows a sign of a really good promoter is tweaking little things like that, making that kind of stuff work for the riders and, you know, making them happy by doing that. So yeah, awesome course.
All right, looking forward to tomorrow. We got the C2. I did not ask Powers. I thought I asked Hyde. It seems like everybody's sticking around and racing tomorrow.
Okay.
Sometimes like C2s, not everybody will race, but and I could be completely wrong. I guess we'll find out once we see who lines up. But this of course, you know, I'm not gonna get up until maybe I'll get it up tonight, but I doubt it. I doubt people are going to listen to it. So by the time they listen to it, the second race will already have happened. What are your predictions?
Oh, well, I think, assuming everybody's back, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It was so close today that it's hard to, there was no clear favorite. Any one of those top three could win it tomorrow.
I will be impressed if it's a repeat winner in both races.
Yes, that would be an accomplishment if everyone at the level that everybody was riding, you know, that would be an accomplishment for sure. That said, I think chances are probably a little bit better that Ellen Noble would repeat, I think, than Stephen Hyde would repeat, just because that race wasn't as close. But again, who knows what could happen? Yeah, I would say that Ellen would probably win tomorrow in the women again, and any of those top three, Peters, Hyde, or Powers.
It's pretty much a toss-up there.
Yeah, I think it was so close today. How could you pick? And then, of course, something crazy could happen, like Spencer just like have a great day.
So here's the a little bit of news looking forward. I know we had talked about it, and then also when I was talking with Ed Nesson, my big theory about Cross Vegas, you know, I was like, well, you know, now that it's not a World Cup, people are just going to go to Iowa, and then they're going to go to Trek, and yeah, they're just going to skip Las Vegas. I could be off base here. And my whole thing was like, there are C1 points that somebody who's not...
We were talking like it could be like a sleeper race people could sneak into.
Right. That not your normal C1 guys could go in there and get points. I think those points will still be available.
Yeah.
But Jeremy Powers is racing that race.
I think that race is going to be stacked.
And I think that others are going to be as well. And so it may be the type of thing, you know, answers the question, that everybody shows up, they just fly with one bike.
Yeah.
Don't have a pit bike.
Right.
You usually don't have to pit at Cross Vegas. It's a pretty clean race.
Or even if you have two bikes, you don't have all your backup stuff. You just, you know, they got a lot of people have these double bags now, so you can fit two. But then you don't bring all your backup stuff. I got my two bikes and that's it, and they fly in there. Because I'll tell you, in the pit today, the mechanics were going down the list, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're flying from Iowa. We're flying from Indiana. We're flying from that. Everybody talking about going to Vegas. Yeah. So,
which makes me happy. It's good. Because I was like, oh, it's going to be this easy race for somebody to steal some points. I know. Now I'm like, damn, maybe I should go. So Cross Vegas looks like it's going to be a race to keep your eye on. It should be exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way these guys are looking at it, and it's, you know, not to... The Trek, the way I think it wraps up, you have a C1 on Wednesday, you have Trek having their C2 on Friday.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to sacrifice one or the others, it may be the C2, and then you show up and race the World Cup.
Yeah. I think that would make perfect sense. Yeah. It just makes, you'd obviously sacrifice the C2 for the C1, yeah. I think. But then that sets up, well, maybe I'll hop into that C2 and go win because
Vegas. Yep, it changes the whole dynamic. So either way, it's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be fun to have all the Euros here, and that's always great. And we will be out there.
Yes, we'll be out there tomorrow. We'll be out there at Jingle Cross and Trek.
Yeah, and I think that...
Bill, we're gonna be like hanging out more than we ever have.
I know, it's awesome.
It's crazy.
I think as long as you're on board with this, I think we may be taking a trip to Chicago, too.
Oh, yeah. That's still on?
I believe so.
All right. You don't want to give details yet?
No, we'll figure it out. I'll still nail it down. Well, I'll say.
Details to the listeners.
No, details to the listener, but it looks like we're going to be doing an event at... Chicago Rafa Club in Chicago on Tuesday. I believe that is the 19th.
Sounds
between Jingle Cross and Trek. So if you're in the Chicagoland area, please come down to the RCC in Chicago. Scott will be there. I'll be there. We're nailing down some other guests as well. And that's going to be a fun live podcast. Bring your questions and, We will handle all that there.
That's going to be amazing.
Other than that, I think that we are going to meet the listener challenge and come in under an hour for this podcast.
That's good.
So we should sign off.
Stop now. So
we should send our regards to Scott Herman and Mr. David Palin. And
yeah, they announced the Alma GP today. It looks like they had fun on Instagram, so we'll have to get details from that.
All right,
Bill, we will we'll see you again tomorrow. So
hey, Scott, where can people get in touch with you?
People can get in touch with me at BikeShopCX on Twitter or at CyclocrossNet. Or we have not done one of these since BikeShopCX started, have we?
I feel like we have. No?
Maybe. Have we?
I don't know.
Or...
Yeah.
BikeShopShow@gmail.com for the BikeShopCX podcast that is going like gangbusters.
It's good. I've been listening. Learning about tech.
We got Bill listening to tech. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I may have even written a letter.
which we might discover soon.
Yeah, and you can contact Crosshairs Radio at feedback@cxhairs.com. You can call the hotline, 405-CX-HAIRS. Let us know your questions. Also, you know, for both Bike Shop CX and Crosshairs Radio, go to iTunes if that's the way that you subscribe to podcasts. Give us both a 5-star rating. It doesn't cost you anything. And leave a review. And then Scott will read your reviews on his show.
And then the Slow Ride podcast will read all the reviews.
Yeah, we'll
since
send them
they're
all,
not getting any lately.
No,
they
I know.
Can read
we
ours.
Should just send them ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll do that.
Absolutely.
All right. Awesome.
See you, Bill.
We'll see you soon.